If you have a Bible, just turn with me. Just for these next few moments, for about the next 15, 20 minutes, we're going to be finishing soon so that we can finish this on time this morning. But I just want us to take a moment to look again, just for a moment or two. I spoke last Sunday about remaining, what it is to remain in Christ, remain in Jesus. Amazing that Ian has just been singing about Christ being in us. And Jesus speaks to us. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He's just been leading us and singing. We've been singing together about Christ being in us. And if we find ourselves in Jesus Christ and are able to abide, dwell, remain in him, as he abides, dwells, and remains in us, we will bear much fruit. We'll have a life that will be fruitful, a marriage, a home, a destiny, a today, a tomorrow, a church, as an individual. We will thrive. And so as a church, we've been looking at this idea of what does it mean to thrive? And I've been saying, one of the things that I've said, it's not a catchphrase or coined a phrase, but you know, if you're born again, you are born to thrive. I am designed, I have the DNA of the living God in my life, not by anything that I can do, but only by his mercy and great love. And so if you're born again, to be born again, Jesus says you need to be born again. We must be born again. You know, going to church is great. Reading the Bible is good, but that's not good enough. On itself, they're great things, but we need to be born again. So a man said, how can I go into my mother's womb a second time? And he says, you must be born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit. And so if we're born again, we are born to thrive. And that's what we've been looking at over the last few weeks together. So last Sunday, we looked at this idea of remaining. What does it mean to remain? I just want to spend a few more moments to a second part to that, I suppose. There was so much in that about what does it mean to abide, dwell, remain in Jesus, and how do we do that? So I just want to take a few more moments on that similar theme. So it's a second part. It's a part two, I suppose, you could say, to this remain in me part two. And it's a great game changer. It will change everything in life. This is the key to life. When Jesus shares this with his friends and those around him, when he said, I am the vine, they understood this idea of something fruitful, amazing, luscious, amazing growth. He says, and you are the branches. If you're in me and I'm in you, you'll be more fruitful. You'll even be more fruitful. Your life. I mean, most people want a great life, a good life. They want life. We want life to go well. And the good news is, so does God. It pleases him, a great father, for our lives to be well in him. And so as we come this morning, here's the key to life, the very key to life, the very absolute key to our lives, families, homes, our hearts, our hopes, our todays, our tomorrows, are found in what Jesus says about dwelling in him and allowing him to dwell in you and I. And how do we do that in the 21st century? How do we do that today? And so it's Jesus understood what it was himself to keep connected, to keep dwelling in, to keep related to his Father. And he practiced this understanding in his life. And so in his life and ministries, the Gospels give a consistent account of Jesus coming away from activity and the crowds and spending time with his Father. Jesus found it so important that he would dwell with Father God. He would abide. He'd be at home. He rested. He reflected. He related. He was connected, his heart connected, to, so that he would come away from activity at times. And if you look at the gospel accounts, you'll see this rhythm in his life again and again and again. And Jesus practiced this himself. And then he said to his disciples, and that is you and I today, if you believe, trust in Jesus Christ, he wants us to practice the same connection, relationship with Father God, with Jesus the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And so you read the Gospels for yourself. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will find again and again, Jesus would said, come aside, came out of a crowd, take a moment. And no wonder the disciples said, teach us how to do this. Teach us this game changer, this key to life. And so he shared with them this understanding. So the Lord's Prayer isn't just a pattern prayer. There's something about connecting, relating, abiding, being with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking at how to apply this in our lives today. How do you and I, and I'm not going to go over it in depth, it's out there online. We've looked at the speed of life, the pace of life, multitasking, technology, you name it. If you've got a growing family, you'll be going here, dropping them off there, at work, productivity, life, pace. It seems to be that our lives are so full. A lady called Ruby Wax, who suffered, the comedian, not a Christian, but she'd written a book called Frazzled. And it's all about the pace of life and how today we feel frazzled and how to deal with that from a non-Christian point of view. But it's interesting today, so many people feel this sense of being frayed around the edge. We looked at what that meant some weeks back. So we're looking at how we can apply to the 21st century this understanding. And I've been talking about discovering the seasons and cycles of grace in our life and our lives. And we do this by staying connected in relationship with Jesus. It's simple stuff. You might go, duh, I know that, Adrian. What are you saying this for? But it's simple stuff. But it's this: it's understanding the cycles of our lives, understanding the pace and being aware of that. And how do we deal with that? Because I understand this, that Jesus says this, and we see in John 15, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We spent some time looking at this. But it's so important to understand. You know, you can tell I'm very animated about it because I'm twigging. I'm understanding that without him, I can do absolutely nothing of the kingdom, nothing of kingdom life. Oh, I can do many things. People today can live full lives. You can have a great job. You can earn a lot of money, and you don't have to be a Christian to do that. But there are a lot of frazzled people around. I'm meeting more and more and more and more and more. And so to truly live a life that's connected to Father God, a life at peace with God, in place with God, in a sense of purpose and destiny and hope in life, there is something so powerful about knowing Jesus Christ and walking with him and talking with him as my friend, my Lord, my Savior, rubbing shoulders, walking, knowing him and knowing his love, knowing the Father, as Ian was sharing, the Father looking upon you and I with doting love, passionate, great love in our lives. So we can do nothing. We need to be stayed connected, therefore. So Jesus said, apart from me, we can do nothing. We may have many plans, but without him, they will come. They will crash. They will crash upon the shores of life at some stage. Now, what was relevant for them and then, 2,000 years ago, and him, the Lord Jesus Christ, is relevant today. And for us, if it was relevant for Jesus, then it's relevant for you and I today. He knows what he is saying. And Jesus calls us to himself. He said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I spent a bit of time sharing this aspect from the message. It says this, Jesus calls us to himself to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. If you read Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30 in the message, it's amazing, absolutely amazing, because where Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and you will find rest. Come and learn from me. The message has a line in there that translates it like this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I understand and I have come to believe that there is a rhythm of grace. There is a rhythm of his grace and it's got my name written on it. There is a rhythm of grace and it's got your name written on it. You know when you're struggling and you're rushing and you're feeling you can't juggle your family, you can't worship in the auditorium because your children will be running here to there? God knows. God understands. You know when you're a taxi service for your teenagers? Yep, some of us do. God knows. God, you know when you're work, you've lost work. You know when you're your manager or your boss and it's difficult. You know when the seasons of our life, when the sickness comes and a doctor says there's not much we could do, there is a season. There are rhythms of his grace. It's amazing. Just as there are cycles in life, seasons in the world, just as there is a peak and a trough, if you look at a heartbeat, there is a rhythm. There are highs and lows. There are stops. There are starts. There are seasons. And it's amazing that the message translates this love, this amazing relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says, learn from me the unforced rhythm of grace. And I have come to understand in my life, in my season right now, where my life is, my life today, 26 years later, pastoring in a local church, 26 years later, is so different as my children are growing up and have grown up. Speaking to a pastor friend, five children, all now grown up, still going on with God, traveling around the world. And he was saying to me, Adrian, you will have seen from our Christmas newsletter, they do one, we do one, you know, people tend to do these things. There's a new season in our lives. Our lives have changed. And he was talking about, but do you know, I know and I'm experiencing and I'm understanding there are rhythms of his grace. And it's got, you've got your name. Your name is written. And so when the doctor says there's a rhythm of grace for you with your name on it, you know, when your boss at work says there's, and puts pressure, there's a rhythm of grace with your name on it. In that moment in our lives when we feel hard-pressed, when we have habits that die hard, there is a rhythm of grace and it has the name. Adrian Mancini, there is grace. And for you, you can apply. It's just that we need to find it. You need to find it at this moment. So it can be very disconcerting if you've walked with God and then something goes on in your life and you feel as if God's not here or not there. It can send you for the well, not the ejector seat, but we run. Run like, was it from Toy Story? Run like the wind, bullseye! Was it that Woody says to his favorite his horse friend? And we can run for it. We go into the fight, flight mode. And you have to get that right, don't you? Yeah. And, you know, there is this aspect of we've got to find, because there is right now, even though it doesn't feel like it, there's a rhythm, there's a season, there may be a trough, but there's a rhythm of grace. It's got your name written on it right now. If you don't believe me, just go and read what the Word of God says for itself. And Jesus says this, and this is why Jesus says, remain. Learn to dwell. If you dwell in me, and I, as I dwell in you, you will be fruitful. Wow. There is a rhythm of grace for you. But you've got to find it. Now remember this. It's not hidden nor elusive. And it's not made difficult to find. Jesus said this, ask and you shall receive. Knock and ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. It's not elusive. This rhythm of grace is not difficult. God doesn't hide it from you. He doesn't say, play hide and seek. He doesn't say, come on, try harder. He says, ask, you'll receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock, and it will be open to you. And you will find your... And I've discovered something amazing. A revolution. It's a revelation and become a personal revolution that in the midst of my challenge and difficulty, I'm able to find, if I'm abiding and I'm relating to Jesus Christ, a rhythm of grace in my very hour, my very second, my very moment. So at 53 years of age, in 2017, 26 years later in Christian ministry, I'm finding a fresh sense of rhythm of God's grace for now and for today in my heart and in my life. You see, grace is this, unmerited favor. It's as simple as that. It's unmerited, unearned favor. The Father wants to favor you. The Father favors you. The Father God favors you and I. You might not feel like it. You might feel distant from it. You're in that trough right now. But there is a rhythm of grace. There's a peak that's there for you right at this moment. You see, this grace is not got, it's given. It's a gift. You don't get it. Even when we ask and receive, it's not how much we try. That's not the key here. It's given. It's a gift. And so we don't get it. We're given. And God is a good, good Father, as we've been singing about this morning, who loves to give, who dotes, adores you and I, because we're his creation. We're special because he made us, and he knows us, and he cares about us. Not because of what I can do or can't do. And very often I say to God, I can't do any of that. But he just says, that doesn't matter. That's not material. The fact is, I made you. I love you. And so he gives. But we need to find that People say they fight, you've got to find your groove, you've got to find your place, you've got to find your moment. I would say you've got to find grace. You've got to find that rhythm of grace. So that's why Jesus said, come to me. We find it in him. Enough said. That's it. Let's move. Okay. Paul spoke of his weakness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks of a weakness. There's lots of debate of what that weakness was. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks of a weakness in his life. And but he said to me, so Paul is sort of bemoaning to God, I'm too weak, I can't do this. That's the gist of the letter that he's writing. And then in that background, he says this, but he said to me, that's the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. The Lord spoke into his life. You know, for us, his unmerited favor comes very often in those deep valley moments, because it says, my power is made perfect in that weakness. It's amazing. It's not that God wants you to go through a bad time, but it's his ability. You see, it's his ability, not my ability. And so you and I know that I am weak. My abilities don't amount to much. They amount for zippity-doo-dah. They amount for probably zero at the end of the day. But his ability, Andrew was leading us recently to focus on that he is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. And so that's why he loves to give. We've got to find in the midst of your weakness. If you're going through a weakness, if you're going through pain, if you're going through challenge, if you don't feel God, well, welcome to being human. Welcome to the club of fallen humanity. Just like Paul the Apostle, amazing man who wrote most of the New Testament, and we're probably here today because of his evangelistic gifting. He says, God says, my ability is made strong in your lack of ability, in your weakness. I will display my strength. So we're to ask, we're to seek, we're to knock. And I'm learning this, that as I, there's three things, there's three ways, and with this we'll close, and the guys are going to come and lead us as we pray together. So I suppose I can't stress enough of finding this connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with Jesus, after all. That's what we talk about as Christians. But it is a relationship, so let's live it. Let's live it. I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, it is a relationship. So Adrian, let's live it. So let's walk it. Let's do it. Andrew was leading us at the AFM with a let's do it. It was a great declaration. It was a great, there was something happening in the spirit realm at that moment. We declared as a group, let's do it. If it's recorded, I don't know if it's recorded, but it was a great declaration that came across us. But so three things. So I'm learning, number one, to walk and talk with him. That sounds pretty basic and simple, but I'm discovering a more conversational style of prayer. So I find that if I get to walk now and again, I try and walk a little bit more. And in those moments of trying to walk a bit more, I'll talk to the Lord Jesus out loud, like I would talk to a friend. I'm not flippant with it, but I don't know whether it's a man thing, but saying I love you to Jesus is a man. I know he's the risen God, but there's a thing about hearing your mouth say out loud, I love you, Jesus. But I'm doing that much more. I'm walking and talking. I'm influenced and astounded by the Puritan fathers, the Puritan writers, who looked at building a living life relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's really interesting. You know, people will talk to Siri. We'll get our phone and we'll talk to Siri, as we discovered, didn't we, Annette? We were all in a Churches Together meeting, a few of us. There was a few of us. It was Hold the Fort. I thought, come, Lord, quickly. You know, Hold the Fort, for I am coming. But in that meeting, the minister was leading something, and in the background you heard, I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear what you were saying there. I'm sorry, I didn't quite get what you were saying. It was Siri going off, and it was Annette, Pastor Annette Richmond's. Whether you call it a Freudian slip at the time with the minister leading, I don't know. But we'll talk to Siri. You know, some of you will talk to Cortana if it's with Microsoft. And if it's with Google, it's Alexa. We'll ask Alexa, turn on the lights, Alexa. I mean, what is all that about? And Jesus wants us to talk to him. It's amazing. I'm discovering something, and I'm not there yet, but I'm on the journey of conversational prayer, of addressing him as my Lord, my Savior, my Master, and my friend, and walk in and talk it. And it's because he's alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. So walk and talk with the living Jesus Christ. That's how you'll get to feel his presence, know him. And he speaks back. I don't know if when I'm walking in West Park, if anyone sees me and you see me talking to myself or whatever it is. But that's probably what I am doing. Okay. Second thing that I found, so it's conversational. Second thing that I'm finding, I'm learning, is, and I've talked about this a lot, is reading and reflecting on the Word of God. Reading the New Testament. You can read the New Testament in a year, one chapter a day, 20 minutes a day. You can do the entire New Testament. That's radical. It's incredible. And as you read, you can do it in a bite-sized chunk that you can spend a bit of time to think about it, reflect. It's really powerful. And then I just rely on the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, how's this apply to my life? What are you saying, Jesus? Holy Spirit, I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. So that's the second area that we can really lay hold of in our hearts and lives. It's the power of the Word of God. Reading, reflecting, and then relying on the Holy Spirit, inviting the Holy Spirit to come, have your way in my life, empower me. And Jesus said this, I will send another counselor like myself, like me. He will lead you to me. He'll be with you and in you and to strengthen you. The power of the Holy Spirit. Embrace all that the person of the Holy Spirit has for you and I. It's amazing, amazing. So it's the second thing that we can do to abide, dwell, and relate to Jesus. And the third thing, and it's a practical thing, is, you know, in 21st century life, you know, finding a moment to walk and talk, finding a moment to read something, and what I've just said is not rocket science and will not take hours of your day, which you can find at some point at something. Hey, if we can speak to Alexa or Siri, we can speak to Jesus. That's my challenge. If I can speak to any of them, I can speak to Jesus. And finally, third thing and final thing with this, we'll close, is when I'm in the car, play Ian Yates CD. I'm awesome. You know, I will put some sort of worship on. I think for me, is it the house fires has been the last few months, the last 6 months, year, the sort of the house fires one, house fires two, those series of worship have do something for my heart. They seem to be at where the rhythm of grace is at for me at the moment. But I found, and so in the car, I'll have that going on from time to time, and it, you know what, we find your rhythm of grace and learn from him for you. And when you do that, you'll begin to abide naturally. You'll begin to dwell. If you're on the road, you're on the tube, we don't have the tube, it's on the train, you're rushing to work, you're cycling, you're coming back from whatever it is, there's a moment when you can hook up, you can listen to, you can talk to, you can open your heart, and that's what it's all about. So let's open up our hearts. Let's seek him. Let's open ourselves to him. Let's speak to him. Let's abide in him. Let's dwell in him. Let's know him. Let's be known by him. And then an amazing thing will happen. You'll find your life will be fruitful. You'll find your life will be fruitful. Final message on this, in a week or so time, we'll be looking at what is fruitfulness and what does that mean and how is that achieved. But you will have an amazing life in God if we give our hearts to him. And Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Let's pray. We're going to come and worship together as the guys come. And we're going to continue just as we open our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, we just want to say we love you. Lord Jesus Christ, I love you. I thank you. I thank you that you're my Savior. I thank you that you're my Lord and my God. I thank you that you call me your friend. That's what you said to the disciples. You are now my friends. Thank you that I'm adopted in your family. And this morning, I just pray for your people as we gather together that we may find and learn from you the rhythm of grace at this moment in time for our lives. So I pray, Father God, for anyone that's feeling the pace of life, the challenge of life at work, at home, in family, in relationships, sickness or whatever it might be, finance, if we're feeling a bit frayed, some of us feeling frightened, some of us feeling maybe down, some of us feeling difficulty with habits or addiction, we open up our hearts to you that we may know your rhythm of grace, we might know you, Jesus. You say, apart from me, you can do nothing. But when you're in me and I'm in you, you will bear much fruit. So receive our love as we open up our hearts and give you our lives afresh. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's open our hands to heaven. I find the opening, I say it all the time and we say it here, but the opening of your hands seems to symbolize the opening of the heart. That's why throughout the Old Testament and in the Psalms, in worship, God says, lift up holy hands. It's powerful symbolism, but it's more than symbolism. It shows that I need you. You know, when our hands are clasped, we can't receive because we're doing it our way. But when our hands are open, we're empty. We need him. We're symbolizing that we need you. We honor you. We open our hearts to you. So whether you can lift them up and open your hands or we're going to keep them near your side and open your hands, should we do that together as we say that we love him and we adore him? Let's welcome him. Thank you, Lord.